Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Fly Girl Show, and my name is Casey Grant. I am your host, and we have a very exciting show today. And I know I say that every time, and I say just what I just said every time, but it's the truth. This is going to be so exciting. We are having our first interview from Ghana, and we may experience a little technical difficulty, so if that's the case, please bear with us. We would try to get it straight, but we are looking forward to not having any of those problems today. We will be interviewing Ghana International Cabin Crew Flight Tour, and we will be talking with... Okay, and if everyone could keep me on mute, if you're in Zoom... Please keep me on mute because it's the feedback and it interferes with the radio interview. So someone kind of took us off for a second. But please just keep the Zoom meeting on mute and then tune into the radio portion of it. And at that point, the number is 914-205-5326. So if you'd like to tune in to listen to the radio interview, then we will do that. Patrick Anakawa is going to be tuning in. We're waiting for him to call us from Ghana, and he's going to give us all the ins and outs of the Ghana International Cabin Crew. So I'm just going to read just a little bit about what that's about and a little intro into the radio show today. So this is international and domestic crew members are uniting to do their part to encourage young adults to join the aviation community. And I'll pause for a second on that. That is exactly what I have been doing with all of my books. As you know, my books are Stars in the Sky, History of the Black Flight Attendant, and with that, I'll segue into, we will be talking to the very first black flight attendant commercially for the United States, Patricia Banks Edmonston. She is on today. She will be greeting the students for the International Crew Organization. But until then, we're going to give you something special. We're going to give you a little insight of what she's doing, a little bit of what she did do, because if it weren't for her, black flight attendants would not have been hired. So we're going to give you a little sneak interview on her, and then we're going to have a full interview with her another day. But going on and telling you more about the Ghana International Cabin Crew, this is to join and bring awareness to the world about the mission of the Ghana International Cabin Crew. This theme this year was creating opportunities to airline cabin crew. And they had a very nice ceremony, and I was asked to come in and join the ceremony in Ghana. So that was really a nice experience. So we are still just waiting for him to come in. And with that introduction, and I'll add more to it when he joins us. But for right now, why don't I just give you the privilege and the honor to be able to meet Patricia Banks Edmonston. And as I said, the very first commercial flight attendant. And if she had not done what she did with her brave little soul, there would not have been any black flight attendants hired. So once again, let me bring Pat in. So she can introduce herself, she can give us a little history, and tell us about that wonderful accomplishment of suing the airline. So, good morning, Patricia. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, everyone.
Good, good, good. So now this is what we're going to do. We're going to interview you until we get the Ghana connection, if you don't mind. So will you tell my audience a little bit about you, what you did, and what we owe. We owe you so much.
I appreciate that. I just remember I was just going over and redoing my bio this morning, and I remember I was in college, and I saw an advertisement for an airline school to fly around the world. And that was sounded very exciting to me. So I was accepted into the Gracetown's Air Career School in early part of 1956. I trained with them for 6 months, and I was interviewed by Capital Airlines, which was one of the top southern carriers, Mohawk and TWA. And within time, I was not getting any response, and one of the chief hostesses explained to me that the airlines throughout the United States did not hire Negroes on flight capacities. And I was very distraught about that because I was a youngster growing up very interested in the racism in the South, and so I was pretty in tune to what it meant to be, you know, have this racist attitude. And I was saying, in New York City, you know, it was amazing. So anyway, a friend of mine referred me to Adam Clayton Powell, who in turn referred me to the New York State Commission Against Discrimination. And the commission took the case, and they started doing a lot of research on the airlines, specifically Mohawk, TWA, and Capital. Capital claimed that the United States, that New York had no jurisdiction over them, but it turned out they did. My statute of limitations had run out with Mohawk Airlines and TWA. However, the investigation into those airlines continued over several years. And finally, in 1957, TWA considered Margaret Grant for hire. However, she could not fly because of personal reasons. And then in December of 57, Mohawk hired Carol Taylor, who flew for 3 months. Now, the ironic part, that she flew for 3 months, TWA could not hire Margaret, and yet there was no effort from there until my case went to court in 1960 to hire anybody of color in flight capacity. So that kind of gave you an idea of how they really didn't really want anybody because no one else tried to pick up and get anyone. So in 1960, Capital Airlines was taken to court and ordered to hire me, or it would go to within, they ordered to hire me within 30 days. Otherwise, the case would go to the Supreme Court. They did hire me. And this airline, keep in mind, before the Civil Rights Movement, was a Southern aircraft. So here I was at the age of 21, 22, flying south to deal with the racism in the South. It was rough. It was tough. But it was well worth it because in 1965, airlines started opening up to other women in flight. Diane Hunter, I believe, was hired next on Continental, I believe.
Continental, I believe so, yes.
And, yes, she was hired first in 1965. So it just showed you with all the publicity, because I had gotten responses from people all over the world regarding this case, this unknown racism in the United States of America. So it was just an honor to be able to open the airlines to people of color. We deserved it, and now we're doing a great job serving the United States. So thank you for letting me give you the short story. But then again, I was inducted into the Black Aviation Hall of Fame in 2010 in Memphis, Tennessee, which was quite an honor. I have been interviewed by the History Makers, and the interview is now in the Library of Congress.
Whoa.
I retired after providing 50 years of service in the drug rehabilitation field. I was a program manager for the New York State Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse Services. I did consultant work when I retired for 15 years, and now I'm just doing my martial arts. I'm studying the Chinese bow staff, and it's a beautiful weapon. I'm also learning some of the Filipino art called anis. And that is even cuter because that's with the short sticks. And they teach you how to use a knife. Go ahead and laugh now. But that's
Wait, you're moving too fast. Hold on. I got a question or two. I got a question and a comment, so just wait. Okay. First of all, thank you. As I want to say all the time, thank you so much for your courage. Because had you not taken the airlines to court, and you named the particular ones that you did do to get what you accomplished, had you not done that, who knows how long it would have been, because Delta did not hire their very first flight attendant until 1966. And that's Patricia Grace Murphy. And she was hired in 1966, as I said. Had you not done, it was 10 years, Am I right? About 10
years
between what
the time we started. 10 years.
Exactly. And so at that point, well, I'm just going to interrupt real quick because we have Patrick on Zoom. And now,
okay.
Patrick, if you would please call into the radio station now. I just sent the number to you so you can join our interview on the Fly Girl show. So, Patricia, this Patricia's and this Patrick's and Patricia and the Pat and the Pats are driving me crazy. I am trying to keep it straight. But, as again, thank you. On behalf of all the black stewardesses, flight attendants, because of you, we got our job. So I do thank you very much. So what and why, is it just your personality? Was it just your determination that you knew you had to do this? You knew you had to go and sue and do all these things. Tell me about that. And Patrick, we're waiting for you.
I was raised in a very proud black family. My father was the first black customs inspector in the United States. I came from a family of a history who fought racism in the United States. My uncle Louis Gregory, who was what they call a hand of the Baha'i in the Baha'i faith, he helped integrate southern states. He helped integrate them, and he's been a renowned leader. He's now, of course, not with us, but he is an amazing person in the Baha'i faith in terms of we just finished doing an event called Race Amity in the United States. It was just that I felt that there was no reason for blacks not to be hired and a lot of things, and I was young. I was black, and I felt, how dare you not want to hire us? And I was not going to let it rest until somebody got hired.
Yes. Okay, good. And that's what it took. It took someone's determination and strength like you did to be able to open up the doors for us. And as I said, on behalf of all the black flight attendants, thank you. Because they didn't hire me until 71. And it took a little sprinkle of a few blacks here and there before they really, really opened up the doors and hired more black flight attendants and women of color. So
from the very beginning, you could see that they didn't want us. Look what happened when Ruth Taylor left. Mohawk did not try to hire anybody else. When Margaret Grant did not completely qualify for TWA, you didn't see where they tried to hire anyone else. They didn't hire anyone else until I went to court in 1960, and that still didn't do anything. Then they didn't hire anybody else until 1965. So that just shows you how strongly racism existed in this bill.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, hold on, Pat. Patrick.
Sure.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick.
Okay, so let me unmute. Okay, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, I'm with Kathy.
Okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but hopefully we can do this because we're waiting for you in the radio show, but we'll see if we can conduct this on Zoom. It seems to be working so far.
Okay.
Okay, would you please go ahead, Pat, if you don't mind, I'll put you on hold and we'll take up from your interview in a moment. So we got our call from Ghana. So please, Patrick, would you introduce yourself and tell my audience about the International Cabin Crew, your academy, and so forth.
Okay. Hello, viewers. Good afternoon. I'm Ghana. My name is Patrick, and I'm an aviation instructor and also aviation advocate and event organizer as well. And what I do is I'm an aviation instructor. I do train aviation students in Burma here, and some parties in Africa as well. So on the 30th of May, we organized the International Caribbean Crew Day celebration and a flight tour. We realized that there's a lot of the lack of education on Caribbean crew training in Ghana. So we organized that program. That was a major addition to sensitize the youth in Ghana who want to get into cabin crew career, because you realize that in Africa, when it comes to aviation education, we don't have education here. So we need to sensitize the youth in Ghana or in Africa to be able to, you know, have more education on aviation training.
Perfect. How now, are you one of the founders of this academy? And how long has it been in operation?
Okay. I'm part of the, I'm co-founder of the academy, and also we've been in existence for like 10 years now.
Oh, it's been up 10 years. Okay. But this year's theme, okay, and your theme this year was creating opportunities in airline cabin crew. So that was your theme this year, correct?
Yes, 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 that's true.
Okay, and so how has it grown in 10 years? Do you really think that you are making a some advancement in really trying to get people involved in aviation? How does that seem that it's growing?
Come again, please.
How well is it being received in Ghana? Are you, is the enrollment increasing? The interest?
Yes, 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 yes. It's really increasing.
Perfect.
Yes.
And how many?
A lot of youth in Ghana have passion for aviation, but because of aviation in here is very capital intensive, so I try my best to give scholarship out to the youth here who want to get into aviation. So that, yeah, so we have scholarship offers for all the youth in Ghana that want to be a pilot, that want to be a cabin crew, and all that. So recently we have United Airlines coming to Ghana. So we planning with United Airlines so that after their training, they will be able to get a job and internship with United Airlines in Ghana.
Oh, that's impressive. So let me repeat it for my audience and make sure I have a great understanding. You guys are training in Ghana. And United Airlines is partnershipping with you to offer jobs. Is it, will it be offering jobs with United?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And will they be coming to America, or is, does United have a base or a station over in Ghana?
Yes, yes. We have Ghana Link Company in Ghana here. So we have a company like Avian Company. They are in charge of United Airlines ground operation and everything. So they're going to recruit the students after school when they are done with their training. So they are going to do their attachment with United Airlines at the airport, Kotka International Airport in Ghana here. And also when they do well, they will have some high chance of getting a job with United Airlines here.
Oh, well, let me introduce you. I wanted you to get back to and talk more about that, but I need to, I have to, I must introduce you to the other lady that you can see. Can you see on your screen the other lady? Wave, Pat.
Can you, hi, Patrick.
You see? Okay. That is the very good. That is Patricia Banks Edmonston. And she is the very first black commercial flight attendant. Oh, did you hear me? Patrick? I think he froze. Did he freeze? Well, audience, as I said before we started.
I don't see him, yeah.
We may experience a little technical difficulty. On my screen, Patrick has frozen, but I think the connection has been lost, so we'll wait for him to get back on. I'm going to have to repeat that wonderful interview, the introduction of you, Pat. I don't mind. I'll just have to do it all over again.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You make me laugh.
So, technical, yes. He finally, yes. The connection was lost. So, here we go again. Let's get back into you, Patricia. Now, where did we leave off on your wonderful challenge that you took it upon yourself to do?
Okay,
do you remember
yeah,
where we left
talked
off?
About, we talked about where I got the, where I felt it was so necessary. Because, as I mentioned, my parents were very, very, very proud black people. My grandfather had his own business in Harlem. He was a businessman, and so I was always exposed to people who strive to do better as black people. I grew up in the areas where they worked with the youth. We were all, I mean, it was a village, and you couldn't get away with anything in this village, whether you were mommy or daddy or someone else.
Yes.
So my upbringing was very, very close and loved and making us proud of who we were.
Yes.
I went to an all-white high school. And these people in the school were never exposed to black young people. I mean, I had teachers who would ask me, where was I born? And I would say, Harlem. And they would look at me and say, no, you were born in Yemen. Now, they're trying to tell me where I was born. I had a nun who every time I walked into the classroom, she would start talking about the churches on every corner in Harlem and the bars on every corner in Harlem. And this was in a Catholic academy. The students used to look at me and say things like, my uncle said black people put a lot of grease in their hair. And I would say, put your hands in mine. And I would say, do you feel any grease? And they would say, no. I said, then go home and tell your uncle he's a damn liar. I mean, it was the exposure to racism existed so powerfully, even in New York City. I felt it was very subtle in terms of job positions, and I just could not believe when this woman told me that the airlines didn't hire Negroes. And surprisingly enough, you see, during that time, nobody knew it. Nobody was aware of the fact that we were not allowed to be hired for flight positions. Because
yes.
You figure black people didn't fly that much. White people flew most of the time. So people didn't know. They weren't aware of the fact that this existed.
Yes.
So this
and that's
me,
true. Because as a child, I never dreamt of being a flight attendant. I thought the only way I could see the world was to join the service. So that was just something that I didn't even allow myself to dream about. And because of you, you had already opened the doors. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was difficult because I just couldn't believe that this racism existed so subtly in New York City. I'm thinking, look at what happened in the South. As a little girl, I learned about the South and the depth of the racism. My mother was born in Charleston, and right now her house is a Baha'i museum, which they're trying to make some kind of I forgot the terms they use, but where it's a, what do they call it when they make something a designated
a shrine?
Site? A sort of a, not a shrine,
a
but, you know.
Historically.
A historical place.
Registered,
a building.
Yes. A historical,
yes.
Uh-huh.
In Charleston, my family is very highly recognized. The Naval Yard is named after. My family name was Noisette, and they were a renowned family in Charleston. The Charleston emblem is the rose, and the rose is done all in downtown Charleston. The Naval Yard is named after our family in Charleston. Is he back on?
Yeah, I believe so. Hold on one second.
Okay, let's hear Patrick.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Wonderful. Hello, Patrick?
Hello.
All right, Patrick, now we have you in the studio. This is for, and we have Nana. She is on Zoom, so she's able to listen to the interview. So we are hooked up now. Thank you, Mr. Technical Herbert Henderson, our technical person here. Thank you. So, Patrick. Go ahead and finish telling us a little bit more about the school. Pat has given us a very interesting in-between, so this interview is fabulous. I'm enjoying this.
Hello, Ms. Gasha, can you hear me? Come again.
Okay. So what I need you to do, Patrick, you have to mute your Zoom meeting. There you go. Now we're talking.
Okay.
Somebody is not muted. Pat, you're fine. Don't worry. talking about. Okay. So I just muted him, but I'm going to bring him back on again and see if we can take care of this. But, Patrick, I need you to mute your Zoom meeting and only talk through the radio on your telephone. So,
okay, so
Patrick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Perfect. All right, I think we're in business now. Okay. So now we're in business. Okay, Patrick, so please, once again, as I've already apologized to the audience, so don't worry about it. We're not getting stressed over this interview. We're happy that we've made the connection to Ghana. And we were going to continue with, we left off with United, that they have partnership with you, which I think is a great accomplishment. Is this the first year that United Airlines has partnered up with you?
Yes, this is the first time United was partnered with me. You know, United was way back, you know, they were flying to Ghana, and, you know, they stopped flying. And just this year, they've relaunched their route back to Ghana. So we saw it as an opportunity for the Ghanaian youth here because we don't have much airlines here. So if United is coming down to flying here, it would be a great opportunity for our youth in here. So when they do the launching, and we had a conference with the United flight crew in Ghana here, and we engaged all the youth here. So we discussed some of the opportunities that United have for the youth in Ghana. Yeah, so as part of it, we were able to, you know, discuss how best they can push our or promote or support our youth after school when they are done with aviation college and all that. So this is the first time that United is going to partner with us, and also we hope for the best. We hope for the best in Ghana youth.
Okay, and before you froze and we lost you, I was trying to make the most wonderful introduction to the lady that you saw on the screen. Her name is Patricia Banks Edmiston, and she is the very first African-American commercial flight attendant. So I was trying to introduce Pat to Patrick. So Patrick and Pat and Patricia, say hi to each other, please.
Hi, hello. It's Patricia. Nice meeting you.
Yes, okay. And so she was giving us, and you'll have to go back and listen to it later, but she was also just giving us an introduction and giving us a little update on her history because I've interviewed her before, but I'm going to interview her again just to have an update for the 2021, and this is an amazing lady and all the things that she's doing. So I will be bringing her back in after we talk and then I'll interview just for her. So, Patrick, I want to ask you, the different opportunities, has United, did they limit the possibilities, or are they just saying to you, we would consider pilots, we would consider agents, we would consider flight attendants? Did they give you any guidelines as to how many fields are opening up the opportunity to work for United?
Okay. So they are going to start with their passenger ground handling students, those students that are offering, you know, the ground operations and all that in terms of ticketing and reservation and then other programs as well. So they are going to assess the students after their program, their training school in aviation college. They're going to go through some interviews, and when they pass the interview, definitely they'll surely get on board to have their internships or attachments. And if they really do well or perform very well, there's high possibility that they're going to maintain them for jobs.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That's very encouraging. And as you and I had talked about, this is like a soft launch for my International Black Aviation Day, which is going to be February the 16th, 2022. And you and I are going to partnership with that. You're going to bring awareness to this day in Ghana, and I hope that you and I are going to be doing other things with going along with my the books that I've written. As everyone knows, it's Stars in the Sky and Stars and Beyond. And we will be able to bring even more awareness with you and I joining up with the International Black Aviation Day.
Sure.
Great. Yes, and I also, for the audience, I was honored to be one of the speakers at your flight tour 2021, the Ghana International Cabin Crew Flight Tour 2021. And it seemed like for, you know, the audience and the pictures that I saw that it was very successful.
Yes, it was very successful. A lot of youth were educated on the international base of flight attendant, and this was an amazing addition, the first ever cabin crew program done in Ghana, organized in Ghana. And then on coming this Saturday, on 26th of June, we are having a flight tour, the Aviators flight tour in Ghana. So we will be traveling on all days on flight, giving the youth in Ghana the flying experience, because you can't be an aviation student or graduate from aviation college without having a flying experience. So on this Saturday, 26th of June, I'm organizing the Aviators Flight Tour as part of the Ghana International Cabin Crew Day celebration on Saturday. So we're going to have a flight tour. We're going to tour the whole Ghana, the whole country, to give the youth in Ghana the flying experience when it comes to cabin crew. How do we work in the plane? How do we serve in the plane and all that? So we're going to give the youth in Ghana the opportunity to get on flight, to be on flight for free. Yeah, on Saturday.
Oh, so you said free flights. Is that what you said? Free?
That is it. That is it for my students and all that.
Oh, that's a great opportunity. So you're doing, definitely you're doing advertisement and making it aware for all the people in Ghana to know about this. That's a big deal. That's great.
The flights are all over social media, on Facebook, on WhatsApp, everywhere. So it's happening live on Saturday, 26th June, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Got a lot of youth have registered. They want to go on flying. They want to go flying and all that. So we can't wait on Saturday to get up into the skies.
Oh, I am excited. Well, tell my audience how they can contact you or how they can become involved. And we do, Delta Airlines, I believe we still have crews that lays over there for like 24 hours. So for anyone who's listening that may be going or taking a trip and they will be there for Saturday, how can these people become involved or how can they attend your event?
Okay. So for now, with the registration, we had a deadline for the registration. We had a deadline for the registration. So because we have a number of people that need to be on board the flight. So all those that they want, if they're traveling to Ghana, that they want to partake in the event, the Saturday event, I think they can. I'm gonna give my contact out so they can reach me on WhatsApp, on Facebook, and then I'll do the reservation for them if they are interested of coming.
Okay, so you're saying if anyone wants to contact you or would like to attend your event, they should go on Facebook and contact you that way? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm going to send a flyer to you so that you advertise it to them so they can contact me as well, so that I'll register their name, whoever that is traveling from the United States that on Saturday that want to come for this flying tour. It's just a matter of, because we had a deadline and that deadline is over, so I'm just giving an opportunity to those in the diaspora who want to come and experience Ghana, who want to come and experience the flight tour on Saturday. So they just have to hit me up on my social media network, and I'll get back to them.
Okay. So for my audience, Libby, in case you did not quite understand it, this is my understanding. Patrick will be sending me the information. I will post it on Facebook. And at that point, if there are any people, as I have openly invited anyone, if you're there Saturday and would like to attend, he needs to have your name. So send it to me, and Patrick will put you on the list so that you're able to enjoy this festivity this coming Saturday. So, Patrick, is there anything else you would like to tell the audience of, or contact information, or is there any event other than what's coming up Saturday that you would like them to be involved in?
All right. So what I want to say is on the 19th of August, I have another program conference coming up. That is the International Right Brothers Day. You know, in I know in the United States, that is the every 19th of August is National Aviation Day to honor or to commemorate the Wright brothers who manufactured the aircraft. So in Ghana, I did the first edition. That was last year in Ghana on 19th of August. And this year, the second edition is happening live on the 19th of August. So what I want to say is on the 9th of August, I'm going to invite all of you to come on board, you know, to also support this program big time. And also, we want to establish more aviation college in Ghana and Africa, because we want to promote aviation education in Africa. We want to sensitize the youth in Africa about aviation. It is if you want to be a pilot, you want to be a cabin crew, it is possible. But the thing, aviation is so expensive. If you want to go to flying school, that is capital intensive. So we want to sensitize them that maybe they can begin from the ground school as a ticketing and agent, as a flight dispatch, as a ground handler, so that, you know, when you start working, you save some money and you want to continue with the flying, you can do that. So on the 19th of August, it's going to be Ghana, in collaboration with the United States of America, to celebrate the International Wright Brothers Day.
Absolutely, yes. So put that on your calendars, everybody. August the 19th is aviation. It's International Aviation, National, I'm sorry, it's National Aviation Day, August the 19th. And it's also a very special day for us because it's our technician's birthday. So we'll be celebrating two special things on that day. So definitely, I love that this is the second anniversary and you're bringing awareness to this. Aviation is a very important part of life, and it's also a great career. And it is my mission as well as it is for Patrick. He's doing his thing in Africa, and we're going to work together, and I am trying to bring awareness in America. And so together we are going to be able to bring more blacks into the field of aviation. And I like, Patrick, what you said. If you start working, and I'm interpreting what you said, you know, if you work for the airlines and you're starting in on the ground level, but you have dreams of becoming a pilot or a flight attendant or any other field, you're there to help. You're there with your academy to help, and there is a way, and I think the more you get the word out, I think it's going to be so successful.
That's true. I mean, we are ever ready to support the youth across the globe, you know, to achieve their aviation career dreams. So we're going to do our best as part of our corporate social responsibility. As an institute, we're going to try our best to give out more scholarships to the youth in Africa and the diaspora who want to get into aviation education as well. So we are ever ready to support and to push the industry forward.
Well, I love it. Well, I'm going to end the show, and if there was anything that you wanted to just, you know, if you haven't said it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, but people can check on my website. Oh, well. We've lost him, so I guess it was a good thing that I was about ready to close the show. And as I had said earlier, in dealing with different technical difficulties, these things happen. But I'm going to get back to Pat. I want her to have a closing also. But for those listening to the show, it was on the Ghana International Cabin, and we have him back again, so we're going to allow him to have closing words. But it's on the Ghana International Cabin Crew and all of the awareness. And hi, Patrick, we see that we have you back. And all of the opportunities that are made available through the help through this academy. So with that, Patrick, I believe that I've gotten all the information. I think the audience is well informed. I believe we've given them the opportunity to sign up for this wonderful event should they want to. It's a last-moment thing, but you're going to make it possible. If they would like to join, you'll get their names and put them on the list. So with any other closing words, Patrick, from Ghana?
Okay, so what I want is my last words is we are promoting the Year of Return, your Year of Return. In Ghana, we are celebrating the Year of Return. I think we started in 2019. Our president was in the United States to promote the year of return. We want all the black Americans in the diaspora to come back home. So we are looking, this year we are looking at beyond the return. So we want all the African Americans to come back home to, you know, visit Ghana, to visit Africa. We this is where we are. We're coming from. This is our motherland. So we want all the those in the diaspora to come down this year. So I'll be organizing a tour for all those in the diaspora that want to come down to Africa, that want to come down to Ghana to see Ghana. I'll be embarking on a tour very soon. I'll give you the details and everything so that you come back home, you come and look what our forefathers, you know what happened in the slave trade and all that. So I'll be so glad. I mean, many people coming from the diaspora, from the United States, to come and, you know, have a tour in Ghana as well, to promote Ghana, to promote both countries, because there's a lot of tourism sites in Ghana. There's a lot of, you know, places in Ghana that we need to create the awareness, or we need to visit. So this year is beyond the return. We are looking at beyond the return. We are looking at having the diaspora, those in the diaspora, coming back home, knowing where they are coming from, knowing their roots and all that. So I'm going to put a tour package together for all those in the diaspora, those in the United States, all the African-Americans. We want to welcome you back home this year. Just come for a visit, come for a tour to experience Ghana, to experience Africa.
Now, hold on, Patrick. I love that. And what he is saying and inviting everyone back to is the year of the return. So Patrick has just extended a fabulous interview for Americans to come back to Africa, the motherland. And I love it. He's going to give us more information about that, but it's the year of the return. But Patrick, this is not the first year. Isn't this the second year you've done this?
Yes, this is the second year I've done this.
And movie stars came. You said to me you had a very good turnout, and even some movie stars came back to Ghana and embraced this welcome back to the motherland, or the year of the return. Am I right?
Yes, we had a lot of celebrities coming from the United States to embrace the year of return program. And, you know, we had a lot of personalities from the United States and across the globe. So this year, we're going to champion the cause this year as well. Just the last year, we had COVID to interrupt the whole show, the whole program. So this year, last week, our president in Ghana, the president of Ghana, launched the year, the Beyond the Return, and looking at the domestic tourism and all that. So we want to bridge the gap between aviation and tourism. Because when it comes to domestic tourism in Africa, we don't connect with flights. It's only when we're going for international tourism. So we want to promote all these events, all these tours, so that, I mean, those in the diaspora, we know their roots. You know where we're coming from. We've abandoned our culture. We've abandoned our the things we used to do, and we are out there. So it's about time. It's long overdue. We got to come home to experience Africa, to experience Ghana, our motherland.
I love it. I love it. And I belong to a mastermind group. It's called EPOC, and our group is Empowering People of Color. And we will do our part in advertising this return to the motherland, or the year of the return. So, Patrick, you and I are working up on something else. And who knows, we might even get Patricia to come with us if we go. What do you think, Pat? You think you might want to make a trip to Ghana? Oh, she muted. She's muted. Look, a mute, yes, she's muted, but she's responding, Patrick, and I believe she's saying yes to that invitation. But we will talk more about that. I'll have that on there. And so at this point, I want to be able to close with you, and I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fabulous interview. You're so full of wonderful, inspiring information. I would do my part to bridge make a connection between the two of us in Ghana and America in aviation. That's definitely my mission. So with that being said, oh, just a minute. Pat will say something to you.
Hello?
A moment. There you go, Pat. All right. So if you,
you
want to say
me.
Goodbye to Patrick, I'm
Patrick,
ending that
Patrick.
Segment with him, and then I
yes.
want you to be able to close, Patricia.
Patrick, thank you so very much for what you're doing. I traveled to synagogue with medical wings, and we provided medical services throughout the Kerr. I did that for about 2 years, and I'm just very pleased to see that you're working with the youth in Africa. It was very important to me to see you do that. The youth need you. They need your support. And I'm truly grateful that you're doing this, and my prayers will be with you for your success.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pat. I really appreciate that. And I know I believe in collaboration, so I know very well that we're going to go connect and then do more things for the youth in Africa. Because my main vision is to build an aviation college for the youth, because we need more schools. We need more aviation schools, aviation college in Africa, in Ghana, and all that. So I know that maybe we're going to get some investors to come down to also, you know, support us to also, you know, establish more aviation colleges for our youth in Ghana and Africa at large.
Okay, Patrick, but make sure they get their educations as well. Make sure they get their degrees and have a good backup for their education. That's also very important, that we combine the both.
That's great. That's great. I'm surely going to do that. I'm sure.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, Patricia, don't go away. And Patrick, I'm going to close your segment of this wonderful interview, and hopefully we will have you back again, because we have to have updates, because you have so many different things that you are going to be celebrating that we have to have you back on, and hopefully we'll have less technical problems. But we did a good job. We didn't have as many as I thought. So with that, Patrick, have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for your interview. And we will be back in contact with you, okay?
All right, Ms. Cassie, I really appreciate for hosting me today, too. God bless you so much, and hope to see you very soon for the year of return in Ghana.
You know what? That's going to go on my list. I think I'm going to try, so we will talk details about that later.
All right, all right.
Okay, you have a wonderful day.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, my goodness.
Bye.
Was that an interview or what? That was so fantastic.
Beautiful.
As I,
that was beautiful.
That was straight from Ghana, and he is doing so much and accomplishing a lot, and I really appreciate that. And, Pat, we have 11 minutes. I want to give you ample time to sum up all the wonderful things that you're doing, and I want everyone to be able to read your story. You're in Stars in the Sky. You're in Stars and Beyond. And as I say to you all the time, thank you so much for opening the doors for all black women, because if it hadn't been for you, we probably maybe just get they probably would just be starting to hire black people.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I just know that I'm just grateful and thankful that I was able to do it, that I was able to continue it. And when I was listening to Patrick talk about Africa, when I went to Dakar, Senegal, and watched the poor, the kids, they need this so much. I remember a little child in Dakar came to me, and I gave that child a quarter. And within 5 minutes, I had 50 other kids coming to me looking for a quarter. They need the support that Patrick is giving them, not only in Ghana, but in the United States of America as well. We need to work with our youth. That is so very important. We need to let these children from various black communities who are not privileged, to let them know by the grace of God that they can obtain their goals. They can attain whatever they wish to do. And we need to do a lot of work with that. I'm not pleased with what we've done. You know, we need people to get more involved in prevention rather than coming to the table when things have been done. We need
exactly.
to work with our young people, you know. And I'm a little perturbed at the fact that I always see people standing up after the fact. What are we doing to prevent our young black children from going to jail at the age of 17, 18? And it just bothers me very much. There's a lot of work to be done.
And there's
a lot of work
to be done. And that truly is another interview that, because it's an emotional one on top of all that we've just said, and
yeah.
It is one. But for all that you have done, and we're coming to a close on this show, but I want to be able to say thank you so much for everything you've done. Thank you so much for coming in and joining and being the two interviews in one, two fabulous interviews in 1 hour. I just never expected to have that, but you, my buddy and my partner in crime, and we've got a lot of things
to do. You're my buddy, Casey, and I want to thank you so much for all that you've done, and we need to continue our plight in racism in the United States of America.
Absolutely. So are there any closing words or anything that you want to help us? I know what I want you to say. I want you to tell everybody about what's happening next year when you will be, I believe you're going to be the first black woman to accomplish this. Now tell the world so they can all be prepared and we can bring you back. So tell me.
Okay, I'm just studying the Chinese bow staff. This is my second year of studying this particular art. And the guys keep saying to me, do you know of any other black woman in the United States that does this? And everybody says, no, we haven't heard of anyone yet. And then to top it all, wow, you may be the only black woman in the United States doing this, and at your age. They want to say, and as old as you are. And as old as you are. So we have Tai Chi Jay, which is the last Saturday of April, all around the world, and doing Tai Chi Jay. It's all over. But we bring a lot of artists in the Tai Chi and Shotokan arts, and they perform. So I'm training to perform next April, and I'll be 85. And I just feel that it's important because people of my age need to feel they can continue and have a life, and that movement and doing things keeps you alive. And it keeps your spirit very, very high. You're not sitting around and feeling like, you know, well, I'm old, I'm a senior citizen. Keep going. Keep doing things. And it's just a blessing that I can continue to do this. I'm just grateful, Casey. I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm grateful that I have what I have. I have a loving family, loving friends, and I'm just truly blessed. And I just smile all the time. You know?
You are blessed, and we are blessed. We're blessed to have you.
You know?
I'm blessed. You, my friend, we've met, and we just hooked up immediately.
We certainly did.
We're on the same mission.
It's a blessing
and,
to have good friends.
And with that,
support.
With some closing words, because we're running out of time, I really appreciate that, and I will definitely, we will have a radio show to be able to kind of track some of your progress. I would love to invite everybody to tune in, and I'll be there, so I'll be taking pictures, and I can show it on Facebook about you doing this. God willing, I will be there.
Oh, my God.
I will be there. You know I'm like the proud mother, the proud daughter, proud niece, whatever you want to call me, girlfriend. I got
all my kids now, Casey. I tell them, look, it's June? And I had my grandson put on your calendar the last Saturday of April of next year, and he's looking at me like I'm crazy. I said, no, you guys are so busy. You travel all the time. I want you to see this last performance I'm doing. And so they're all laughing at me, you know. Grandma,
but
come
it's
on,
monumental.
Grandma.
Once again, so at 85, everybody. So don't give up. That's the name of the game. But with that, Patricia, I'm going to close this show, and we're on the countdown. But thank you so much for joining in. And adding to it, you just added a valuable input into this interview, and I appreciate it. But we're going to have another interview on you solely for a whole hour. So we will be talking back with you. We'll schedule that, and everyone can call in and ask you questions, and we can just update what you are doing.
It's
so with
honor,
that,
Casey.
I am saying thank you so much. Have
you.
A great day.
You too. I have a class tonight, so now I can take a nap.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, take your nap, and I'm going to close the radio show out. And for all my audience, I hope that you really enjoyed this show. It was fantastic to me. We really accomplished. We talked to Patrick in Ghana. We talked to Patricia in America, and she was just so delightful, and her history is just unbelievable. So with all that being said, I am going to close the show out. And I hope that you would join me again. Once again, this is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. My regular scheduled show is on Wednesdays at 11 Central Standard Time. But please stay tuned. Check my email out and Facebook, because when I find someone interesting, I schedule a show. So it doesn't just have to be on Wednesday. You must join in, because you never know what person I might be introducing. So with that being said, have a lovely day. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. Have a great day.